Pike. Now, you guys ready to get started?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
With the fourth pick, the New York Jets select.
And I know what the Jets need, and they need Sauce Gardner. If you are, in fact, drafted by any team other than the Jets before the Jets choose.
With the third pick.
Would it be a problem if I came up and made sure the commissioner did not hand you that jersey?
That's what you were thinking about doing, huh?
The Rich Eisen Show. With guest host, Ryan Leaf.
Earlier on the show.
Minnesota football head coach, PJ Fleck.
Coming up.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner from Pro Football Focus, Trevor Sikkema. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Ryan Leaf.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Rich Eisen Show. Ryan Leaf here, filling in for Rich, who we should have shortly efforting to get the main man in Las Vegas.
Efforting.
Alongside TJ Jefferson.
Yo, what up?
Michael Del Tufo.
Hey.
Chris Brockman.
Hey.
I'm Ryan Leaf.
Let's go.
I am hosting this show today. I don't know about you guys, but I when I was told I was going to host these shows, I put into the talent bookers to try for Will Ferrell again, because I don't know if you guys are watching some of the Twitter feed, but everybody continues to think that it's Will Ferrell hosting the show. I don't believe I sound like him. But people clearly close their eyes and they can hear a young, what was the last tweet I just saw? A young Will Ferrell trying to be a straight-laced sportscaster.
Yeah, I don't hear it.
I don't hear it either.
I don't hear it.
I don't know, man. Maybe because we're too close.
If I try to be Ron Burgundy, you know, and start doing the whole thing like
that.
You
got to go higher for that.
Well, that's if there's a question mark on the teleprompter.
I love scotch.
scotch.
Itch in my belly.
I dressed up as Ron Burgundy for the Halloween show for Pac-12 Network, and that's one of the lines I used. I looked at our co-host, and I said, I love scotch.
The bad man.
Milk
the bad
was
man
a convention. Bad choice. We got Rich.
Yeah. Mike, awesome. You didn't get to give him the white glove. There we go.
Did you give him the white glove treatment?
Give him the white glove treatment.
Ryan's very excited.
Welcome
to
the show, the host of the show. And Rich, I want to ask you a question first off. Did Mike give you the treatment today? Did he let you know that I was very excited to speak with you?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, that happened. I think we're going to have a much better segment today now because of it.
I think so, too. You got to drink some Intercept wine last night, with Charles Woodson. I mean, tell us about your evening before the draft.
How's your hangover?
There's no hangover.
Oh, you're a
no
pro. Hangover. I'm sorry.
I'm a pro. My voice is intact for
that
tonight.
Sounds timbery.
Tomorrow and Saturday. Oh, you know, thank you. I'm ready to go. Last night, Barry's Prime Downtown.
Okay. Downtown.
Where we went.
Nice.
Yeah. Downtown. We went downtown. Passed by the hotel, the first hotel I ever stayed in Las Vegas, back when I was in college. Zipped by it. If I'd only seen it, you know, sooner, I'd have taken a picture of it. It's just wild. And then they shut down Las Vegas Boulevard around 10 o'clock last night, right around the intersection of between Caesars and Bellagio, because the stage for the prospects, the red carpet is right there at the Bellagio fountain. So I'm expecting a monster crowd on Las Vegas Boulevard tonight, just a monster, because the draft hall is on the other side of it. It's like on the, if you know Las Vegas and Bellagio is on one side, the Paris Hotel is on another. It's behind the Paris Hotel towards the Thomas and Mack Center. Mm-hmm. So that's where it is. And so they're going to need to have like a clear path for the prospects to get across Las Vegas Boulevard.
Wow.
And get to the draft set. And I just think it's going to be, from what I'm told, potentially I'm seeing how it's all, yeah, Las Vegas Boulevard is closed off for that entire section.
Oof.
Like no cars can go north or south. I'm watching them like turn around right now. It's just going to be a mass humanity on Las Vegas Boulevard tonight, and
love it.
I can't wait to see it lit up. You know, can't wait to see this town lit up with draft.
Well, I want to give you some good news. We have already held the first eight picks of the NFL draft today on the show, and your Jets selected Sauce Gardner.
Rich, we're doing a mock draft, Rich. We're doing all 32 picks. Each of us get eight. I had number four, and I made you happy.
Well, I mean, what were your other? What would you have done otherwise?
You know, I would have probably picked Michael Del Tufo.
Michael Del Tufo had the number three pick, and he easily could have taken Sauce Gardner right there. Right now, what we have is how the Rich Eisen Show mock draft has gone. Number one overall pick was Kayvon Thibodeau out of Oregon. Number two, the Detroit Lions selected Aiden Hutchinson out of Michigan.
That was me.
That was TJ. Ekwonu went to the Houston Texans. Mike Del Tufo made that pick. The Jets selected Sauce Gardner by Chris Brockman. The Giants, I selected Evan Neal, offensive tackle. The Panthers and TJ selected Trayvon Walker. And the Giants, with Del Tufo, selected Garrett Wilson, wide receiver, Ohio State. And then at eight, the Falcons, which Chris Brockman drafted, was Jameson Williams from Alabama.
I mean, those are all, I mean, the one that's kind of out of left field and really out there is Thibodeau, number one overall.
Yep, it is.
And that doesn't mean that they're, you know, that he's not a talent worthy of it. It's just that I don't know if that'll happen, but, you know, it's possible that, you know, that the Jets do take Sauce where they do, and it's possible the Texans do take Sauce in front of the Jets. I've been told to keep an eye on that it's a total crapshoot, which is a great phrase to use for this draft. And the whole idea that Thibodeau can't go number one is you know, out the window, because anything can possibly happen tonight. I doubt it will. I think it's going to be Trayvon Walker. But those are all possible slots for everyone else.
Well, since we have you here, we'd like you to participate in the next part of the mock draft, because the Jets select after the Seattle Seahawks here, which is what I have. So if you can bear with us just for one moment, we would love for you to make the 10th overall pick for the New York Jets.
I'm going to give pick up my in. Pick to you, Rich. I'm scheduled bequeathing to pick for the Jets, but I'm going to bequeath it to you, and Ryan has the number Thank nine you. Pick.
With the number nine overall pick in the 2022 NFL draft, the Seattle Seahawks, on a draft swap from the Denver Broncos, select Derek Stingley Jr., Ooh. Cornerback, Oof. LSU.
Well, and that makes me very happy, because we've already taken a corner and we were going to take a second one. That leaves Drake London for the Jets, and I think that's what they would do.
Drake
is in. The New York Jets select Drake London out of USC.
Yes.
And the last time the Jets used a first round pick, either this high, top 10, or at all, was USC's Keyshawn Johnson.
Keyshawn, right, number one.
So there is a little bit of a connectivity in terms of taking somebody out of USC. So hopefully it'll work out a little bit better long term than it did with Sanchez. We'll see how it goes. And Darnold.
And Rich, I would have picked Drake for you guys as well. So we were
I was right on the same page.
We were right there with that one.
Look at us.
The mind meld exists. The mind meld exists. Really looking forward to NFL Network tonight. The coverage for Rich and Kurt Warner and everybody starts at 8 Eastern on NFL Network. How's the atmosphere building towards this? Your front row seat for it. How's it been building since you got into town, and where is it at now?
Every single person I run into that works at NFL Network or works with the NFL, the first thing we say to each other is like, you know, can you believe this is happening? None of us can. I mean, I'm thinking about how actually to start tonight's broadcast, because tonight's broadcast will start with, no doubt, a minute of scenic shots of our draft position, the draft hall's position, the red carpet, pontoon's position, and just the scope of it all. And the never say never aspect of the NFL is embodied by this event, from Tom Brady 199th overall to those who are not drafted, like your next guest in Kurt Warner, you know, to everything else. And so this draft itself embodies Never Say Never, because when NFL Network started in the first 10, 15 years of me associated with the network, anybody ever said, you know what, let's have a draft in Las Vegas, the answer would be like, never.
Never.
It would ever in a million years would that ever come out of somebody's mouth and it would be believable. But we are here, and this is a bit of a dry run for the main event 2 years from now, and the Super Bowl is going to be here. And everybody's just walking around going, what will the Super Bowl week be like here? And my best guess is it will be just insane. And I think that's, you know, maybe stating the obvious, but also in the fact that the town can absorb it. I mean, the amount of hotel rooms that you just look at on one street corner, one intersection in Las Vegas, might be more than some small market cities in the NFL that dream of hosting a Super Bowl one day. So we're just looking around here and just kind of stumbling around and in shock that we're here, that this exists, that the NFL is in Las Vegas. I mean, the draft hall that you're going to see tonight has got the logos of the NFL near like the logos of playing cards, like a diamond, a heart, you know, a club, a spade. And it's nuts. Like, I can't believe that. And it's funny how, like, years ago, I'm 52, so I had a 40th birthday party in L.A. Now, geez, a dozen years ago. And there was a party at night, but during the day I had a charity poker tournament. And the invitation to the charity poker tournament had four kings on it. Like, I put, you know, like you've gotten four of a kind.
Right.
And I sent it to a whole bunch of NFL executives, including, you know, Roger Goodell, to invite them to be part of a charity event for my birthday. And I remember being pulled into the office of Steve Bornstein, who was in charge of the NFL Network. And he's just like, I got this invitation with four playing cards on it. Did you send this to everyone else? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, what were you thinking? And I'm like, it's for charity. He goes, I'm sure it's fine, but like, did you send this to the commissioner? Did you? And I'm like, you know, I might have.
Maybe.
You know? I might have.
That, you know, you're like, and you know, I just washed over me like, how stupid can you be? But it was for charity. I didn't think anything of it, and obviously nothing came of it, but that was just, that's just the general sense of, you know, growing up, if you will, at NFL Network is like, you got to think twice when you're talking about playing cards or anything like that, or Las Vegas. I mean, we're here. This is insane.
Rich, I got a great idea.
Associated with
I got a great idea for you. Here's how you open the show. And I'm sure you're wearing the finest Italian leather tonight on the air, right? You're going to be, Italian linen. You're going to be pressed. You're going to look, he probably has Italian leather shoes. I'm just going out on a limb.
Good point.
Here's what
I get a pen here? Chris, should I get a pen? Should I write this?
No, down? No, no. This, you're going to be able to remember this. Here's what you need to do. You dress up as Elvis, and that's how you come on and start the show. You can easily change in the first commercial break. But if you come on the air and you're dressed like Elvis, you are going to go so viral tonight, it's going to be crazy.
And you could say, Elvis has left the building, but the NFL's re-entered the building.
I don't know if you want to do that,
how can I say Elvis has entered the building when I'm, it's like,
Mike,
guys.
Mike, help me. Mike, work with me.
One more. I'm trying.
I'm giving Rich a chance to go viral tonight. Dress as Elvis.
I'm not here to go viral. I'm here to professionally host.
Rich, your whole life is trying to go viral, okay? I know you, all right? This is your moment. You're in Las Vegas. Dress as Elvis. Well, or you could go as Siegfried or Roy and have, like, DJ and David Shaw be, like, the Tigers. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. I don't think we have enough time for that. You know, in terms of costuming,
Or just get an Elvis impersonator out there and let him open the show.
What I have done, to help though, you is I have reached out to Jack Andrade of NFL Network Research to see if there are any prospects with the name Siegfried or Roy, Wayne or Newton,
yep.
Frank or Sinatra, Dean or Martin, Sammy or Davis.
Okay.
And
how about Harold or Green?
Or anything that may have carrot or top in it as well. So
there is a Murray State defensive line prospect who's not expected to be drafted. But you never know. This prospect's name is Maurice Green.
No way.
His nickname is Mo.
Oh, my gosh.
Get this man a sign.
A Mo Green.
Get him a signpost.
Oh, my God.
There is a Mo Green.
Wow.
That's amazing.
For drafting.
I mean, I love it.
That would be the viral moment, Chris, if this kid gets drafted.
Now we're talking.
Trust me. My Brian Anger moment where I stop the draft and go off will look like a walk in the park.
Attaboy.
Well, but
we can only pray for Saturday.
Well, we can't wait for that.
Yes.
We look forward to your broadcast tonight. We're going to get to your co-host, Kurt Warner, here in just a minute.
Fantastic.
But thanks again for the opportunity and for calling in today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, buddy. Have fun.
Hey, Rich. Hey, Rich, have a great time tonight, man. And just remember, like, you're a professional. You don't need us telling you, you know, best of luck. But just remember that you're doing this not only for your parents, you're doing this for Susie and the kids and for the University of Michigan. But way more importantly than that, you are representing Brock Mandel-Tufo and myself tonight. So I just don't want to add pressure, but just remember that.
Nope. And I appreciate that. I will be sitting straighter up in my chair with that knowledge. Thank you. Or as somebody who's in residence here might say, you are the wind beneath my wings.
So, it's important. Much, important stuff. Important stuff for Mitch Eisen there and TJ Jefferson. Important stuff.
Take care, guys.
Bye. Thanks, Rich. Rich Eisen, everybody, from the Rich Eisen Show. We'll be hosting the wall-to-wall coverage and just in awe of what the NFL has done and how they've taken over Las Vegas. They're shutting down Las Vegas Boulevard, guys.
Ryan Leaf, or I'm sorry, Dr. Leaf.
Yes.
Imagine Mike Del-Tufo yesterday, like, I liked it better in the 80s when they were just in a room and handing a card. They're going to have pontoon boats,
better.
B.
Who cares?
Like, come on, man.
You didn't say that part of it.
Yeah, he just said overall he liked it better back then.
The draft when it was in, like, the Radio City.
When it was in Radio City Music Hall. Okay.
Those old school.
Ryan was shutting down a street in Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, it's like.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that take from Mike. Okay.
I mind you not minding it.
If I said where you just got the commissioner and gets a hands a card and stuff like that, right? I don't want that.
I want to see the spectacle tonight because it's going to be cool. But Philly, I mean.
But you wish it was Radio City. Boring ass New York.
Well, New York's not boring. New York's not boring, Chris.
It's not boring.
No. Maybe City just in that room was
some
boring.
Some of the best drafts.
See, I mean, are you kidding?
Have happened in New York City. 1998, for example. I don't know who was drafted then, but
what happened that year?
It was an exceptional draft.
That was a beautiful draft.
All right. Oh, Tim DeWitt.
Speaking of the NFL draft and somebody who was not drafted but became one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history, Super Bowl champion, Hall of Famer, Kurt Warner. He's going to join us next here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm Ryan Leaf filling in for Rich. We'll be right back.
Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
All right, welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. I'm Ryan Leaf, filling in for Rich Eisen, who's in Las Vegas, alongside TJ Jefferson.
Hey, that's me.
Michael Del Tufo.
Hey.
Chris Brockman.
Yo, yo.
Who have all been so spot on their draft choices so far for the mock draft here on the Rich Eisen Show. Kayvon Thibodeau, Aiden Hutchinson, Ikwunu, Sauce Gardner, Evan Neal, Trayvon Walker, Garrett Wilson, Jameson Williams,
J-Mo.
Derek Stingley Jr., and Drake London are your top 10 draft picks. If you out there are listening, go all in on the Rich Eisen Show mock draft. That's where you make your real money. That's where you make real money. All righty. Our next guest is one of my favorite people in the world, right? Joining us on the Mercedes-Benz van phone line, Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion, mentor to me in the broadcast game. That's for darn sure. Mr. Kurt Warner. Hey, Kurt, how we doing?
Good, my man. How are you?
I'm doing really well. It's so good to speak to you. I remember putting your name on my like wish list for guests when I was going to, when I was asked to join the show, and they came back and they said you were already booked in on Thursday. And so I was excited to get you on. How you doing?
I am doing well. How you doing? What's the excitement of the draft? I mean, you still think back to your time and what it's all about?
I think back. It's one of the best memories I have. 24 years ago in New York City at Radio City Music Hall with my family, everybody present. But the question I had for you on this is, and I saw the movie, of course, which is phenomenal, but they show the draft day for you and the couple days that it goes and where your name's not called. And what were you feeling inside, the emotions and where you were in life right then and with the family and everything like that, moving in that direction, wondering where your dream was going to come?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously I was in a completely different situation than you were, knowing that, you know, you were going to get drafted, you were going to get drafted high, all of those things. But I think still the fact that, I played the game, the fact that, you know, I was in that moment and I had dreamed about it so many times, I still sat there through the entire drafts going, is this where I'm going to be picked? You know, starting at the number one pick. Like, you still have the dream that, yeah, I know, maybe somebody saw something in me and they're going to draft me number one. Okay, they didn't. But I would go through every single one of the picks, all the way through the seventh round, just going, okay, maybe this is the pick. Maybe, you know, this is the team that saw me and saw something and they're going to draft me. And, you know, so that's what, you know, the entire moment was. There was hope throughout the entire draft that my name would be called, because all I wanted was an opportunity to compete at the next level. And, you know, and doesn't mean you have to get drafted. Obviously, we know that, and it happened for me. But you kind of always felt like that would guarantee me a shot at my dream. And so, you know, I sat there for, you know, each day of the draft and each pick, and was hoping that my name was going to be called. And, you know, it was disappointing, obviously, to not have my name called, even though it wasn't necessarily anything that I thought, well, if I don't get called, whatever. You just hope, because it's your dream. I mean, it's part of this big dream that we have. One of those parts of it is hearing your name called on the podium from the commissioner to say that you're getting a chance to play in the NFL.
We're talking with Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. You can reach him on Twitter at Kurt13Warner. He will be on the network's coverage tonight of the 2022 NFL Draft from Las Vegas. It kicks off tonight at 8 Eastern time. You do a tremendous job breaking down quarterbacks. You do it on your off time because you just love it. Is there a quarterback in this year's draft? Because it's been considered a bit of a underwhelming class, and I don't necessarily buy into that because you never quite know how it's going to play out. You're a Hall of Famer. I was drafted second overall. Look where we're sitting in different places. It always depends on what it looks. Is there a quarterback that you watched and kind of broke down where you really see some upside that a team would benefit if they were to go out and draft him?
Yeah, there are. I actually like the top two guys, again, a little bit more than the other guys. I talk about really the top five guys that could probably go, you know, first, second round guys. But I'm with you, Ryan. I think it's one of those things where it's so disappointing to me when a guy can have, you know, a great college career, do some great things in college, and then all of a sudden we get close to the draft, and all of a sudden people are kind of knocking them down, and now they don't have an upside, they don't have, you know, the ceiling that we want, and whatever. I mean, I watched Kenny Pickett play, and I thought he had an unbelievable year last year. And he had a consistent year, or game in and game out, he made big plays. He carried his team week in and week out. You know, they asked him to throw the ball down the field. It wasn't just a bunch of dink and dunks and wide receiver screens. I mean, he bought time. I mean, I watched the tape, and, you know, you heard people, you know, recently kind of knocking him down. Maybe they won't go. So I went back and watched more tape, and I was more impressed when I watched tape the next time than I was the last time. Same happened for me with Malik Willis. You know, that you watch just a handful of tapes the first time or games, and then you go back and you watch some more games. And I was more impressed the more I watched both of these guys. Their command of the football, their touch on the football, their ability to make plays, their ability to process, you know, through their plays. So I'm excited about the top two guys. A lot of people aren't. I'm a guy that says, hey, I'm going to look at what they did in college. I'm going to watch it on tape. Because, as you said, we can't project how they're going to grow and how much they're going to grow at the next level. So all you can base it off of is watch their tape, watch them on a consistency basis, and if they were good at that level, I have to presume they're going to be able to take that and translate it to the next level, and then we'll see how great they become. So I really like the top two guys, you know, that I watched in Willis and Pickett. The other three guys, I think, have more deficiencies and more questions about them for me than the top two. I think Sam Howell kind of intrigues me a little bit because when you watch him, he's got 3 years of really good tape, making a lot of big-time throws. He's maybe the most gifted thrower of all these guys, the most natural thrower of all of these guys. And so I'm intrigued by where he might go and what he might become at the end of the day. But I do believe you got some potential of some guys that could go to the next level and be stars.
Yeah, I agree with you. Sam Howell has a ton of experience. There's a lot of quarterbacks in this year's draft that have a lot of experience, a lot of snaps, where a year ago, kind of the guy that I thought might have a good shot but didn't have a lot of tape, didn't have a lot of exposure or experiences, was Davis Mills, and he went on to have a tremendous year for the Texans this year. That's a big part of all this, right? The amount of snaps you get, because once you get to this level, they want you to be able to play as fast as you can, and the more snaps you have, the more experience you have, the better chance you're going to be able to absorb and be and articulate it on the football field.
Well, and I think a lot of it has to do with how they're playing the game too, Ryan, is that I think that's something that is missed quite often, because it's such a different game from college to pro. And, you know, a lot of times when I break down tape for the draft and I watch these college offenses, I don't even know how to assess these quarterbacks, because I know they're not playing the game in college the way they're going to be playing in
right.
the NFL.
Right.
And so it's hard for me to go, I don't really want to project this guy because I haven't seen enough of what I expect him to have to do at the next level. The guys that do that are the guys that, to me, are easier to assess. And you mentioned Davis Mills. I thought the same thing when I watched him. I'm like, this guy really intrigues me. I know nobody's talking about him, but the consistency by which he plays, the technique with which he plays the game, gives him a chance to be successful at the next level. Doesn't guarantee he's going to be a superstar, but gives him a chance in a unique way, and that's kind of how I break down the tape as well, and that's why I say with Kenny Pickett, I think they asked him to do a lot of things that he's going to do at the next level, and he showed that he could do it and do it at a high level and do it through the course of an entire season, and that's why I put him kind of above everybody else, but why I'm intrigued. Does he have to get better? Yes. I mean, you know,
everybody
Ryan,
does.
Nobody comes into the NFL is a great college quarterback and is automatically great not having to improve at the NFL level. Everybody's got to get better and improve, and that's the unknown that we don't know, and why you have guys like myself or Tom Brady that In college, it was like, eh. You know, but you get to the NFL, and these are guys that can continually grow and get better in different ways and get acclimated to the speed, and the speed maybe brings out the best in them. Playing against the best players takes them to another level, and that's what we don't know. And so to try to project that and everybody throwing out the ceiling and the upside words, I'm like, you have no idea what this guy's upside is, because I don't know if you agree with me, Ryan, but usually when guys grow at the next level, it's not because they throw the ball farther or they run faster. It's because mentally they take themselves to a different place. And that's the thing that nobody knows about any of these guys. So when somebody says, I don't know what his upside is, well, yeah, because nobody does, because it's going to be what happens between his ears way more than it's going to be what happens with his feet or his arm or anything from a physical standpoint.
And that all comes down to how you deal with failure at that level. And when expectations are high, if you're drafted really high, or if expectations are a little bit lower, if you're drafted towards the back of the NFL draft or in free agency, it's really how you deal with failure. And can you deal with it in a healthy, positive way? And those that are able to usually are able to develop and get better because they see opportunity in the failure. They see it as an opportunity to do better the next time. And you exemplified that every move, every time you had an opportunity and took advantage of it. And these guys need to do the same.
I mean, no doubt. I mean, that's the thing that we know, is no matter how good you are in college or even in the NFL, there's going to be those moments, whether it's the moments in the course of a game, or whether, you know, it's a game or a stretch of games where you don't play your best football. And to be able to work through that and to be able to hold on to your confidence through that, to know who you are in the midst of those failures, so you can, like you said, learn through it. You know, not get tentative and go, oh, my gosh, I just threw an interception.
Yep.
Now I better throw my check down the next 10 throws so I don't look really bad if I throw another interception. You know, the ability to go, I understand why I threw the interception. I'm going to make that same throw this next time, because I believe I can make it, but I'm going to do it a little bit differently. And so it does become so key. And, you know, those are all the unknowns. And it's the beautiful part of the position, and it's the most difficult part of the position, is, you know, trying to figure out what you can and cannot do, what you can be and what you can't be, and how to make different throws. I remember hearing that great story about Peyton Manning. I don't know if Marshall was telling you this, but you know, he would go into practice or even games, and he'd try to make a throw in a game, and he's like, man, I know I can make that throw because I made it in college. And then he'd go and make that throw, you know, try to make the throw again, and again it gets intercepted. And eventually he goes, okay, I had to learn that I couldn't make that throw in the NFL.
Yeah.
And the only way to learn it is to try it and to try it again and to try it again, and then realize, oh, you know, I keep thinking I can make it, but it's showing me that I can't. And you know, I wasn't afraid to try, but now I've learned what I am able to do and what I'm not able to do. And that becomes so key at this level. Again, another example, like Jameis Winston is a great example for me, is that he does so many good things reading plays and getting the ball to the right guy. But he hasn't figured out what throws he can make and what he can't make at this level. And it's been the one thing that's held him back from being that guy in the NFL, and the one thing he's got to figure out if he ever wants to become that franchise guy that a team invests in for the long term. But I think you make a great point. It's learning through the errors and the struggles, and learning how that's going to make you better, and being able to make the changes that do just that.
Yeah, exactly. Kurt, you have a wonderful show tonight. We appreciate you hanging out with us. I can't wait to speak with you again here soon, and love to your family.
All right, man. Same to you. And enjoy the rest of the show and enjoy the draft.
Yes, sir. Kurt Warner, everybody. Thanks, Pro Kurt. Football Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion. If you guys get a chance, go check out his film. It's pretty amazing. Just the story. The story. It has not a lot to do with football. It's more about the story and how somebody achieves their dream and never gives up and has the family support. All of it involved. Really good and fun to talk to him. He's been a huge influence on me with my broadcast career. A lot of times I'll watch the Monday Night Football game and I'll turn it on mute and I'll just turn on the Westwood One broadcast and listen to him go with it, because he's so darn good at what he does. So, all right. He talked all about the NFL draft. We have a quick six picks to get done here if we're going to get done with this draft. So at number 11.
11.
The pick is in for the Washington.
That's you, Mike.
Commanders. Mike Del Tufo, who do the Washington Commanders take at 11 overall?
Wide receiver, Ohio State, Chris Olave.
Ooh. I like it. I like him as a player. I think the there is a bit of a discussion of how big he is and whether that is, but I think this is a great pick. He was special. His body control in the air catching the football, great. All right, at number 12, the Minnesota Vikings select... Ooh. Chris Brockman.
Okay, Mike, you went Chris Olave. Okay.
Oh, you were trying.
Yeah, Chris Olave. I'm going to take a value pick here. I'm going to take Jermaine Johnson, Florida State edge.
Nice. This is a guy that I thought would have a real shot at the top 10. He slips a little bit in the Rich Eisen mock draft, but a great pick for first-year coach Kevin O'Connell to build up that defensive side of the football. Jermaine Johnson out of Florida State, edge rusher. All right. At number 13, the Houston Texans from a swap with Cleveland.
Well, we're caught up. We've done now. We're through 12.
Remember, but we needed we to. But two. we were only able to do two in the Rich segment.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So Houston at number 13 selects Kyle Hamilton, safety, Notre Dame.
Ooh. Another guy that could have went in the top 10.
I really like him. In fact, his ability to cover the field, I think he can be an incredibly impact player for the Houston Texans. These are the types of players that they need. They focused on the O-line and now on the back end of the defense to build them up and make them better. All right, so we got Kyle Hamilton at number 13. All right, TJ Jefferson. Pick in for the Baltimore Ravens at number 14. They select...
Just a second. Baltimore Ravens.
You know, I was really leaning towards Olave for the Ravens there.
They
kind of threw us into a panic, and I don't want a Vikings situation to happen where we lose our pick. So I'm going to play it safe. I wanted to get Lamar some help on the offense. I don't think I'm on the reach right now. You have to, right? But
what do you got?
Man, I think I'm just going to play it safe, and I'm going to go with Trent McDuffie, cornerback out of Washington.
Ooh, I like it. Now, this is DBU of late with Jimmy Lake and how he's produced these players. I like it. They need to – what was the problem last year for them? Where were the injuries? Of course, at running back
yeah,
but at corner, right? They were depleted so much at corner, so I like that. Trent McDuffie, defensive back out of – the University of Washington. Only bad thing about it is he went to Washington.
That was the other thing. I was like, Ryan's not going to like this.
But. Oh, I'm okay with it. He's a good kid. All right. At number 15, the pick is in. The Philadelphia Eagles with a swap from the Miami Dolphins. The crowd, of course, not happy with anything Howie Roseman or anything Philadelphia here in Las Vegas. The Philadelphia Eagles in the 2022 NFL Draft. Mike Del Tufo, select.
Georgia defensive tackle Jordan Davis.
What value?
Oh, destroyed me there. I had him pegged for the Chargers at 17.
I had Hamilton. We could have made a trade.
Oh.
Ooh, a swap.
Who could have made a swap?
I am the commissioner. I may not accept this. This pick. All right, Jordan Davis. Interesting.
Jordan Davis.
You went with value, not
that
need.
That was exactly.
Here.
Yep, it was value. Okay.
Value, not need.
All right. For the final pick of this segment, at number 16, the New Orleans Saints, which have gotten this from Indy, then went to Philly to now New Orleans in the 2022. NFL draft, the Saints select.
Got to protect a quarterback. Protect the quarterback at all costs. Northern Iowa, offensive tackle, Trevor Penning.
I like it. Jameis Winston's going to like it too. And if he follows through with what Kurt Warner had to say there, learns what throws he can't make, which I thought he started to do in those first seven games last year under Sean Payton, will be interesting without Sean in that process. But if he's a guy that can limit himself to just, I would even say, half the amount of interceptions he threw in Tampa, he can be incredibly impactful for this team. You add an offensive lineman to protect it. Trevor Penning out of Northern Iowa. Who else went to Northern Iowa, everybody?
Curtis Eugene Warner.
Curtis Eugene Warner.
Is that his middle name?
Yeah. And I know this because remember I used to do a fantasy football show like 12 years ago and he zoomed in with us and I said it. I said, Curtis Eugene Warner. He goes, I feel like I'm in fourth grade again here. So I just remember.
That's pretty funny.
That is awesome. That is a great value pick. When we come back.
I'll be honest with you, Ryan, before we leave. I completely slept on Jordan Davis. I forgot he was off the board, but, you know, the Ravens, you know.
I don't think Philadelphia is going to be doing that. All right. So I think they go wide receiver at 15. So we'll see. That may allow for the Chargers at 17 to get him. We'll see. When we come back, the Chargers are on the clock here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll be right back.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Ryan Leaf here, filling in for Rich alongside TJ Jefferson, Michael Del Tufo, Chris Brockman. They have been exceptional with their picks so far. In fact, so good that I had to give Mr. Del Tufo a little needling there during the break because he stole my Chargers pick with Jordan Davis to the Eagles at 15. All right, quick recap of the last, last six picks, right? At 11, Washington selects Chris Olave. At 12, Jermaine Johnson to the Minnesota Vikings. At 13, the Houston Texans go with Kyle Hamilton out of Notre Dame. At 14, the Baltimore Ravens, Trent McDuffie, cornerback, Washington. 15, the Eagles select Jordan Davis, defensive tackle out of Georgia. And at 16, value here, offensive tackle, Trevor Penning out of Northern Iowa. So we are now at my beloved Chargers. Pick is in, and this is just practice. This is just practice because I'm sure the Chargers in the next year or two will have me come to the draft and do one of the rounds, like the third or fourth round pick, right? I assume that's in the making,
right? Yeah.
with the love fest, the bromance that has come to be with the Spanos family and Ryan Leaf once
tonight.
Again. I can't wait for the opportunity and look forward to it. At 17, the Los Angeles Chargers in the 2022 NFL draft select Devontae Wyatt, defensive tackle out of Georgia. That is now three defensive linemen from the University of Georgia selected in the first 17 picks. That is a heck of a run right there. All right.
Love it.
At 18, the Philadelphia Eagles with a trade swap from the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I don't want to pick for the Eagles, so I'm going to pass it
this
off.
This is going to Michael Del Tufo because we know that you'll pick Mr. Irrelevant at number 18.
I'll pick Bobby Boucher for the Eagles if I could.
At number 18, the Philadelphia Eagles in the 2022 NFL draft select
cornerback from Washington, Trent McDuffie.
Mike, now we know you're not paying attention.
Now we know you're not paying attention.
You're not paying attention.
Just pick that? Yeah, I drafted him already, Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry. I am sorry. All right, so I have to go to my auxiliary.
That's why I'm writing down all the picks.
Oh, I didn't
But Mike predicted
down.
He was going to
okay.
do this.
I'm going to take Utah linebacker Devin Lloyd.
Ah, dang it.
Oh, that was that. You know that was Chris Brockman's at 21. Right, you know it was.
Sorry.
All right, that's a great pick. But, you know, this is starting to veer off course because Philly needs a wide receiver, and all you right. have absolutely...
Okay, we'll go to Arkansas.
No.
All right, Devin Lloyd. This is such a great pick. If he were to fall to 18, I was hoping he falls to 21 to the New England Patriots because that fit would be great. He should be a top 10 pick. He runs, he covers, he rushes the passer, he tackles, he causes turnovers. He was the most disruptive player in the Pac-12 conference last year, defensive player of the year in the Pac-12 conference. Came in as a skinny wide receiver and safety. They thought of him as a linebacker, developed him into one of the best players in college football, and that's a steal at 18 for the Philadelphia Eagles. Linebacker out of Utah, Devin Lloyd. All right. As we move on to number 19, the New Orleans Saints with that flop of picks with the Philadelphia Eagles in the 2022 NFL draft, select.
Okay, with the pick, we're just going to hand the card off there.
Yeah, I love how he's doing everything he needs to right here.
All right. With the number 19 pick in the 2022 NFL draft for Who Dat Nation. Or is it Who Day? No, it's Who Dat. Yes. The New Orleans Saints will get Jameis Williams. No.
Who?
Wait a second.
You're not paying attention either.
Yeah. My bad. I read my paper upside down. I apologize. The New Orleans Saints will select Treylon Burks, wide receiver, Arkansas. I'm sorry, guys. I messed that one up. Yeah. Treylon Burks, wide receiver, Arkansas.
This player is the closest in comparison to what Deebo Samuel's capable of doing. Right, that the size, the lower body strength. If San Francisco were in a position today or had got done yesterday in terms of a trade with the Jets, this is a guy that you could fit into what Mike McDaniels did a year ago in Kyle Shanahan's system and had that type of success. So
you like that one?
Yeah, I do like this pick. He's a monster. All right. And our final pick here at the end of the segment, Chris Brockman has my beloved Steelers. With the 2022
Here we go,
NFL
Steelers.
Draft.
Here we go.
The Steelers select.
Here we go, Steelers. Here we go.
Here Pittsburgh we go, quarterback Kenny Pickett. Oh,
staying at home.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's go.
How much better of an opportunity to scout a quarterback than just to look out your window if you're Mike Tomlin and watch the guy practice, play, and be the star there at Pittsburgh. What a great pick. What a great opportunity for a guy to come in and learn with Mitchell Trubisky. And
love
if he's
it.
Good enough, which I think he will be the heir apparent to Ben Roethlisberger.
Here we go, Steelers. Here we go.
All right. There you have it. The
great
first
job, guys.
20 picks.
This is fun.
Of the NFL draft. You may not even have to watch the draft tonight,
basically what's going to happen.
We're
doing a good job.
There's going to be a moment where teams actually draft players that have already been drafted, as what's happened here today.
I take that flag on the play.
All right, we'll have our final 12 picks here before the end of the show. But we're coming up is Trevor Sikkema from Pro Football Focus to talk about all things NFL draft when we come back here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, so we're going to go in reverse order. This Uh-oh. Time here, we're going to go.
Are we doing it right now?
No, we're not going to do it right now. Oh, okay. I'm just getting you ready because you're going to pick next at 21.
I'm picking next at 21 for the Pats.
All right. And then at 22 is going to be Del Tufo. No.
You.
It's going to be.
No, I'm just picking 21.
Yeah. Then it's going to go Del Tufo at 22 for Green Bay.
Okay.
I'm going to take 23 with Arizona.
Yep.
And then TJ, you get out Dallas. And then we'll start back in the regular formation.
We'll go then you, me, Mike.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So be ready for that. New England's on the clock and is going to be ready.
Hold up, guys. Jerry Jones just called me. Hold up real quick. Yeah.
Okay. What does Jerry have to say?
Yeah. No, I got it. All right. Tell Steven I said what up. All right, we're good.
Okay, good.
Oh, I'm talking to Aaron Rodgers right now.
That was a quick phone call. You're talking to Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, for the Green Bay pick.
Well, Mike is a shareholder, Ryan.
I am
so
a shareholder. That's perfect.
I'm jumping on Kingsbury's private plane and flying to his house to do this.
Perfect.
My goodness.
Take a dip in that pool.
Mike, do we have that graphic of his draft day 2 years ago where he was sitting in his living room? This, everybody, if you're watching, was like the biggest swag coach moment out there, right?
Yeah,
in Scottsdale, feet up on the counter, you got the fire in the background,
pit.
The mountains around Tempe, Scottsdale,
the
Arizona.
Manicured lawn.
Yeah, yeah. Fire pit. This is I want what he has.
What if this was all fake? We never thought about it. What if that was just like a fake background?
He rented the house, you mean? Or
no,
something?
Like he's just in a room.
Rams
and that's
did
a
do
fake,
that that year.
That's
they
a fake
house.
Background, though. It's not even like real. That's a picture that's been blown up and put
but
in the
have you ever been to Arizona?
The fire was moving.
Have you been to Arizona?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know that's not fake.
I don't know anything's not fake anymore. You know what
you
I mean?
You think the moon landing was fake?
Well, you know. That's,
oh!
You know.
Wrong. Conspiracy. Okay, so when we come back, Trevor Sikkema from Pro Football Focused is going to join us. He's got his mock draft, and we'll compare it to where we're at through 20 picks and see if any of them match up. And then we'll get on with ours, right? The next four picks of the draft will be the Patriots, the Packers, the Cardinals, and them Cowboys.
Yeah,
you listen to the Rich Eisen Show. I'm Ryan Leaf, filling in for Rich. We'll be right back.